was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
Where?
So many aliens living in your town.
Hello, weirdos out there in weirdo land. We are live from my living room. We had some technical difficulties a little bit earlier, but
I can hear Beckett's phone in the back.
Beckett, already right off the top of the.
I know. I was watching the chat room.
That's so your role right now is what I do on the KVJ show. I derail and distract everybody.
I love it.
If you are checking our YouTube channel out right now, we are all in onesies, getting festive, getting ready for the holidays. Unfortunately, Vicky's got the flu, y'all. She's not feeling well, so we will not have her here today. We apologize. The psychic stuff's going to have to be put on hold.
Well, like we were saying, I think in the historically speaking, when it's all guys, we could talk a little bit naughty.
Ooh, it looks like Beckett's already ready to
get a lump of coal.
You are the one that gets naughty, Beckett.
I'm just trying to keep up.
I mean, I'm waiting for Beckett to just go into the furry topic just because we're all dressed like furries today.
He wants to.
Well, I was asking before if people think that girls are actually into that mostly or if it's more a guy thing and the girls are just being good sports.
So, Denny's, for the people at home who don't know what a furry is, could you quickly tell the audience what that would be?
So, it became popularized, I believe, at the internet where people... I think through the internet, people are used to using avatars to express themselves on the web. So this concept came where you could create yourself into a character. And I think that transposed to people making elaborate outfits. So essentially, it's a person who identifies with a furry character, like be a fox, a squirrel, and then they act as if they are that character.
Yeah, it's not always about sex, Beckett. Get your mind out of the gutter. That just
but it kind of is.
That's to the next level.
But it kind of is.
Well, so if you find people that like that type of thing as well, then you guys will probably mesh. And you wonder, it probably gets pretty messy, right?
I mean,
because just think about it.
You just throw these things in the laundry. That's the good part, right?
Yeah, you both are wearing those are onesies that I have been wearing myself, and I usually wear them naked, so
yeah, I know you like to just not wear anything under here.
You're gonna get it back with the inseam stretched out a little bit.
That's fine.
I see what Beckett did there.
A couple other announcements I want to make to our audience. Unfortunately, Ariel is no longer our producer. We are sad that she's no longer with our team, but she's going to be starting her own podcast
with
another person that we work with back at the station. So she's going on to do her own thing. I think she, producing this for a while, realized she wanted to do her own thing. So we will be announcing our producer at the next podcast. We've got someone in mind who I think is awesome. And the last thing I do want to say in the intro here, me and Virginia from the morning show, she was talking some major shit about this very fun squirrel video that me and Denny's did or filmed yesterday. I got all these animals in my courtyard here, Beckett, and we look out my window, and this squirrel is full on eating an ice cream cone and eating it like a damn human.
Yeah,
it really is. So what I'm asking you, the weirdos, the weird and whatever audience, we have that squirrel video up on our YouTube page. Please, please copy and paste that and then put that on Virginia's page and act like it's the best video ever.
Like you love it.
But please, please don't make me look like an idiot. Don't only have one person do it. I'm begging you. Go to our YouTube page. Look, what's the name of that video? Jaybird and Denny's?
See a squirrel.
Ice cream eating a squirrel. Find that, copy paste it, and then bombard Virginia's all social media and just be like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Because she was unfairly ripping on
it. She was talking mad trash. That was a really random experience that we happened to have.
I actually saw it. It was really cool. I think it's equally impressive that you were able to get it on film like that.
Virginia talking shit. Is that every day you see a squirrel eating ice cream? Okay, rant over. Help me out with that. It's not doing that well on YouTube. Help us out, please.
Yeah, it was super. I had to sneak up on it. It was scary because we didn't want to scare it off. And it was so cool. We caught it right as it jumps and started running across the fence.
We got some aggressive squirrels where we live at here. They look like they do. They look like they're in prison and they do nothing but push-ups. They're very muscular. They're always showing their dicks off.
They're big ass.
I'm not kidding you, man. They flash you. We have attitude squirrels here.
They just walk by and give you a woo-woo.
They do, yeah.
It's pretty weird.
That's amazing.
This was a popular topic online. It was, what was the most bone-chilling sound you've ever heard in your life that will linger on, that you can't get out of your house. So for me, back when I was living in Lake Park, I was about 8 years old, we had the windows open. And it was about 11:30 at night. Now, we had screens and all that, but we could hear the outside. And there was a kid crossing the street and got hit by a car. And I remember waking up as a kid hearing the kid screaming, and he ended up dying. And I remember that really rattled me as a kid.
Wow, for sure.
Big time. And the next day, the dad knocked on the door and asked if anybody had seen who hit him, because it was a hit and run. I don't think the case was ever solved. In fact, I look into that case now. I can't find that case anywhere. Hmm. It's so bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was the topic. And some of the shit people were here or were listening was pretty creepy. That's one thing that I'll never get out of my head. You guys have any kind of story like that?
My buddy, have you ever heard of Bone Break?
Oh,
my buddy broke his arm near me, and I could hear the snap. I will never forget that. It hurts to think about it, actually.
Gosh, that is rough.
It was like an arm bone.
That is tough.
Ugh, I can't even think about it.
One of the creepy ones that I had seen was this woman was sitting on her couch watching TV, and kind of the same situation. Her windows were open, and as she's watching TV, she just hears this guy go, "Hey." And she said she remembers that she could feel the breath on his neck, and that she looked back and she saw this guy just running. That's creepy.
That is really
You ever
creepy.
Have prowlers, Beckett? Looking in your window? Looking at that beautiful hair?
No, I had a weird situation last night. There was some girl at the gas station, lady, taking pictures like while we were pumping gas. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Oh, Beckett.
With like
what
kind of camera?
Like her iPhone.
Weird. All right. I was going to say, was it like a DSLR? Because then you could say maybe she was getting like artsy shots.
So weird.
That's such an annoying one, because that's not even creepy. That's just some girl taking pictures because she thinks you're hot.
No, she was an older lady. She said I reminded her of her nephew or something.
Oh, that's such a... That's not a creepy.
We get it. Creepy. People just take pictures of you.
Yeah, that's creepy.
We get it. You're on The Bachelorette. You're hot. We get it.
She didn't know any of that, I promise.
Gosh, that's not the kind of answer I was looking for.
What a random thing to happen.
The other really... Have you ever had that like sinking feeling is when you were like young and you like, you know, steal your dad's like Playboy magazine, and you thought you were home alone, and then you heard someone in the hallway. And like you got that feeling in your stomach, like you got pulled over by the cops. But like those sounds when you think you're like caught about something.
Oh yeah,
that's the worst.
Oh dude, when you're sneaking like porn as a kid, I could hear like I could hear a branch crack from a mile away.
Oh,
I would react immediately.
You're like Neo in the Matrix,
like a deer drinking from like a river.
When you're growing up and you have to hide those things, you're on high alert. It's not even enjoyable. Like you're in the mafia waiting to turn your car on.
You get to like a serial killer level of like disguising it too.
That's true.
I do want to ask the audience. Please put your answer in the chat room. What is that one sound, that one thing you heard that you'll never be able to get out of your head that haunts you to this day?
Is that your question for the day?
No, that's just for the one in the chat room. I got one coming up.
All right. Good question.
Way to step on my toes, Dennis.
Yeah, I just thought it was a good question.
We also got the Chewy cam going on. If you are looking and listening in, we've got Chewy going on. That is a fan favorite, by the way. Got a lot of emails about how people love seeing Chewy on the big screen.
Yeah, look at his ass.
So, Denny's, I think it might be time for you to lead us off with some
Denny's random facts.
So, I kind of catered these to the guys, knowing that there was a sick Vicky. Just to update everybody again. But so, I thought this was pretty interesting. So, you know, they had that show where there's like, what if there's only two people left? Would you be able to repopulate the planet? And the answer is, scientifically, it would take at least 500 survivors to repopulate the Earth without creating any major issues because of inbreeding after an apocalypse. It would take 500 at minimum.
Well, yeah, if you only got a guy and a girl to populate, they're going to have kids.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the number that you have to have at least in order to eliminate inbreeding.
It kind of blows that Adam and Eve theory out of the water.
Oh, boy.
Well, so, I mean, the Bible addresses that they're all brother and sister and father.
And
there's some dark times for the sons.
So what would happen then? Let's just say there's only two people left. It's a man and a woman, and they are on an island, and it's just them, and they all kept repopulating. The kids, everything. What would end up happening? What kind of society would we have?
So what would happen is you would start getting mutations. And then, so what happens is the recessive genes start becoming dominant, the ones that would probably be eliminated over time through, it's actually more important to have diversity and breeding like that, because it eliminates a lot of illnesses. It can also create some, so I mean, it's a double-edged sword.
I wonder what kind of mutations do you think?
Well, so a lot of them would be premature death, like organs wouldn't fully develop.
Okay, but I'm talking, okay, so you mean after they're born, that's what would happen.
You would start having that, but some would not. It would be a numbers game, but predominantly would so. And then probably you would have to take the people who didn't have any mutations and you try to have them breed in order to continue. It would become a game of, like, you know, how they do with the food industry.
Now, normally Vicky is here to grade Denny's on his random facts because she's the educator. Now, me and Beckett are going to be the ones that grade him. And before we get into anything else, I did want to read an email. If that's okay, I don't mean to step on your toes, but it does pertain to Denny's random facts.
I'm just playing, yeah.
It says, "Dear Weird and Whatever, Jason, why are you so mean to Denny's about his factoids? And why do you always make fun of what he wears? You're sounding like a snob. I thought Denny's was your friend."
That's why you do that stuff.
"You shouldn't talk that way to people. Just saying, Amanda from Wellington." Amanda.
Wow, such a Wellington email.
That's such a Wellington email. "Denny's, I want to just say I apologize for making fun of you wearing the same sweater for the last 6 years.
I could literally end it by buying a new sweater. It could end.
Well, you rip.
I just don't care.
You rip on me. You just pranked my ass. I just fell face first in your bathroom.
Yeah, you're fine. It doesn't bother me. I think it's funny. I could easily make changes if I wanted.
Well, I just want to let Amanda know for sending me that email. Now I'm going to be so harsh on Dave. Dave's going to wish he never gave us a fact.
All right, so what do you think about 500 survivors?
D.
Oh, you're such a dick.
D. Wow.
What did Beckett say? Let's see.
I'm
going
to give it a B plus. All right.
So it averages,
I like that grading curve.
It averages out to a C. Here we go.
So you passed.
What do you guys think about this one? So this was pulled from an article in 2017. And so, I mean, it's still relevant. In Japanese culture, shaving your head is a common form of public apology or acknowledgement of a failure. It's pretty common through grade school. In fact, all the kids know the drill. If you fail or if you feel like you failed, they would shave their hair. It was a sign, and you could tell people's mistakes or if they've made an apology recently based on the length of their hair.
Oh my gosh, I would always have a shaved head.
You'd have to shave your head a lot, but what it does is it shows to society that you've accepted that you've done something that embarrassed you. In fact, one of the articles from 2016 was a CEO over there felt he failed the company. He came to the next press conference with his head shaved as like a symbol that he had failed his stock.
But is that something that is a self-reflective kind of a thing? You know that you failed, so you shave? Or does someone have to tell you you have failed and you have
so to in school, they tell you you failed. Or if you feel that you personally did. There was a J-pop star. She got in trouble because they caught her leaving her boyfriend's house, which I guess in their culture is disrespectful to your family. So she publicly shaved her hair as like a symbol of her apology. So you kind of have to take like responsibility. So I think at school it's taught to you, and I think as an adult you would do it upon yourself or teach your kids the same type of lesson or whatever.
That was interesting. We used to make, like, back in society, like, there was the scarlet letter, right?
Yeah.
And you had to, like, wear your crime, basically.
Absolutely.
Do you like that for people who have committed terrible crimes that get out of jail? They have to.
No, it would be in addition to, most likely. Yeah. You wouldn't get it in you know, instead of.
Yeah.
They should still be, you know, punished for that if you're hurting peeps, you know.
I feel like if that was in the United States, it would create a big debate as to be like, man, I shaved my head for that. Like, you definitely need to shave your head. And the guy's like, no, I'm not going to
shave my head.
It would
become a thing.
Well, yeah, where do you draw the line? Then it'll be eyebrows.
Shave their heads.
Then
yeah,
it'll be just like a half a mustache. And you have to walk around with a half a mustache. Now you're really humiliated.
You can't shave it. You have to wax it.
Half a beard.
So what would you rate that one?
I'm going to give you, and I was just kidding on the first one. I like the first one. I'll give the first one a C minus. And this one will be, this is a B plus, Denny's.
All right, look at that.
I'm going to give a B on that. It's interesting.
All right. Beck is a tough crowd there too, but that's cool. I get it.
I just want to leave room for your exceptional ones.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
A lot of pressure.
Yes, a lot of pressure. Well, let's see here. What do you think about this? Super random fact I came across. John F. Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald, JFK's killer, and Jack Ruby, the guy who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, all were pronounced dead at the exact same hospital. Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
All three of them.
Yeah, I'll give it a B.
Just a super random one to throw at you. I just I looked into it too. Yeah, they all went to the same hospital.
Have you guys seen that new Scorsese movie yet?
No, Irish Grid. I keep falling asleep because it's one of those movies that you can't be cooking while you're doing it.
No.
You got to be like sit down and like fully locked in. I just haven't had that brain space, but I've heard it's amazing.
Chat room, if you've seen that, let us know in the chat room if you liked it or not. The Irishman.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I liked it. But I was in New Jersey when I saw that, and I really just did not like New Jersey.
You needed something.
I watched it over 2 days. It's a long movie. It's a long ride, y'all.
Yeah.
gotta buckle up.
But is it as good as everyone's saying it is?
I found myself laughing. Keep in mind, though, I am a Goodfellas fan. I like a lot of those gangster movies. Mm-hmm. And they made me laugh because it reminded me a lot of the dialogue of those movies. So I don't know if I was feeling nostalgic. I don't know if the cold, lonely, chilled wind of New Jersey was making me like shit. That I don't know. But I liked it, Beckett.
Okay. I'm in.
I liked it.
What do you guys think about this one? A new type of hallucination has been identified by a team at University of Derby. It's called inverted hallucination. It's one where you can't see something that is really there. Example, such as mental health problems, obesity, social media addictions. The problem is there and present, but you can't see it. It's inverted hallucinations. What do you guys think?
I think that's interesting. When you first said it, I got nauseous because you saw everything upside down, which kind of made me nauseous. But I think that I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, so think about it. Like, if you have an addiction to something or
So you don't see any faults in anyone?
Well, no. So it could be to anything. It could even be to yourself. Say you have a gambling problem,
mm-hmm.
and the problem is evident, but you can't see it. That would be an inverted hallucination. Your brain will not allow you to see
it. You're basically living in denial.
It's basically a denial that can cause a hallucination.
There are people that really do have that issue. Have you ever had that in your life? So they say sometimes when you're in love, you know that you shouldn't be doing something.
That would be a clear
and
example.
Yet you're doing all kinds of shit you can't believe that you're doing because you are
blinded by it.
You're just or you think you're one way and I would never do that, or I'd never act that way, and then all of a sudden you get in a situation where you really like somebody. It's almost like a drug.
Yeah,
you can't even see it.
You're right.
You can't even see it, Beckett.
Yeah. Emotions can really...
That's a scary thing about really caring about someone, because you put yourself... I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but you really put yourself out there where... And I've had, you know, been screwed over certain times, and you, to your point, you really act, I have, outside of what is your 99.99% of your character, and it freaks you out.
I think sometimes, especially when you really like somebody, when you actually not only just being sexually attracted to them, but the whole kit and caboodle, baby. Oh. I think it does something to your brain, and guys and girls, and you're not yourself, man. You turn into Hitch from Will Smith.
Yeah.
Or Will Smith from Hitch.
Do you think that's good or bad? I guess it depends.
I think it's just part of the human condition. I don't know if it's good or bad. I think for some people it's good. I think for some people it's bad. I think when it comes to all of our emotions, it's all about harnessing them, good and bad. I mean, gosh, our emotions get us in such trouble. Every bullshit situation I get myself in, it's because some kind of emotional bullshit happened.
Well, they say, yeah, the emotions conflict with the logic. Because, they'll make you completely do something you know is absolutely bad.
Well, I mean, imagine if everybody got over their ego and they put their emotions aside, just in the world in general.
Yeah.
Imagine how much we could get done. So much time is sitting down and how do you feel? Well, I feel this way. And how do you feel? Your feelings are, you feel better now? I feel better. Okay, want a lollipop? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot of etiquette.
It is. And we're built as emotional creatures. I don't know if that squirrel that's eating that ice cream is stopping every 5 minutes talking about his emotions?
No, definitely. Probably not.
You know, it's weird. It's just we're an interesting breed.
We are an interesting breed. That squirrel was probably just doing something cathartic. He had a bad breakup and he needed some ice cream as like
he
some
wanted
comfort
something
food.
Fatty.
Oh, me and Dennis were talking. Imagine if you're that squirrel and you found it was a full-on ice cream.
Well, yeah. It could be years before you find another one.
Yeah, I mean, in that kind of condition, this is almost a mid-condition ice cream. I know Virginia likes to say it was...
Virginia's just a hater.
Just a hater, man. Seriously, y'all.
I didn't see the ice cream close. Was he eating it right side up?
Yeah, he was eating it like a human.
Like a human?
Yeah. Damn it, Becky. Wow. What a sell it. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it that close. That is impressive. And the fact that he found it not fully melted.
Dude, it was insane. That's why we captured it.
What are the odds? What are the odds? Well,
that's why we were so excited about it.
Because we thought that we met with such like...
That makes total sense.
Don't you... I mean, aren't we all looking for just a little bit of... Just a little bit of awesomeness during the day?
Yeah.
Whether you go to the Coke machine or the soda machine and you put a dollar in and you get an extra soda,
right.
That's a win.
It's a win. Totally.
You got to celebrate those small wins, baby.
I agree.
That's what it's all about. That's all you get. There's no big win.
I mean, the small wins, I think, is really what life's about.
That's all it is, yeah. Let's see here. In the 1920s, a newly hired engineer at General Electric was told as a joke to develop a frosted light bulb. General Electric got a bunch of complaints saying that light bulbs created so much glare. And then back in the 20s, people couldn't, like, sometimes it was so bright if there was some way to reduce the glare. So the company had been working on it for a while, and they couldn't think of any way. They tried all sorts of things, like etching into the glass and whatnot. And actually, it made the bulb dimmer. So people, when they put it on the market, people hated it because they're like, it's dim. So this guy, as a joke, thought that was his assignment, and he discovered it accidentally. In fact, one day while he was pouring a weak solution over the bulb to see if it could disintegrate it, the phone rang, and in the process of answering the phone, he accidentally tipped the bulb over before it had enough time to finish clearing out the etching, so he did it prematurely. And when he returned, he accidentally knocked the glass bulb off the workbench and went to grab it, but missed. And to his surprise, it didn't shatter. It actually was stronger. So his accident made the frosted light bulb. Isn't that weird? By a complete bumbling accident. It's the same thing with that soap that floats.
What soap floats?
So when they made a floating soap, what happened was the guy fell asleep while he was supposed to be doing the shift when they're supposed to be stirring. He fell asleep and he cooked it too long.
Kind of like what I'm going to do during this factoid.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I love it, baby. Give me some more about this frosted light bulb.
Yeah, well, Marvin Pipkins, have you heard of him?
Pipkins.
Does the frosting change the light like it was original intention, so or it just makes the light bulb stronger?
It made it stronger and it dimmed the light. It was. He presented it, and they said that was a joke.
Are we talking 1920?
1925.
Okay, no, and you're saying that the light bulb originally got people like, whoa, it's too bright.
Well, it was made of glass. They had no way to reduce the light glare.
I'm going to see how much better you've got at improv and acting right now. It's 1925. I'll be the guy from the 1925. You be the woman and just kind of role play. Becky, you can just be a 1925 bystander.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it right there. Look at that light bulb right there.
Well, it's glaring right in my eyes, it is.
Can you take that light bulb off there?
I'll try taking it off, I will.
Hey, copper. That's all I know how to say in 20s.
So who, in the chat room, who was the worst at 1920s voice?
Obviously it was me.
Oh, I mean, Becky really brought the whole scene down. Me and Denny's had a whole thing working.
I felt like we were gelling.
I wish people talked like a 1925.
It's an old like Hollywood dialect.
So yeah, you're telling me that there people didn't really talk like that in the 1920s. You did not go down to the bakery and go, "Hey Sam, I've got to get some bread."
No, so they established they had theater projecting. There was a dialect for if you were in theater, and then they had a dialect if you were a newscaster, a broadcaster. It was just a generic dialect, and then they had a film acting dialect as well, because each format they wanted to be distinguishable from each other. So the dialect they came up with television was like, you know, hey, see, wisecracking, blah, blah, blah. And they're all fast talking and stuff. Normal people didn't talk like that. But through people admiring film, people started adopting that into the culture. And then you saw how much it bled over. Now like, people started then talking in that Hollywood accent.
And please just answer this question in a 1920s voice. When did they stop doing that voice?
Well, I'd have to guess the late 60s, see?
I don't know. I think it carried over for a long time, black and white films. If you even watch like... I Love Lucy weirdly was a very revolutionary show for its time. It did a lot of things for that style of television. But if you listen to like Leave It to Beaver and stuff, they all talk in the throwback 50s sound.
Okay, Beckett, you meet the girl of your dreams. Mm-hmm. She's perfect in every way, but she does talk like this. Could you date a girl that talk like this?
If she's the girl of my dreams, 100%.
Oh, Beckett, yeah, touch me there. I think I could do it.
I just don't know if I'd have her say that.
I think I could deal with that.
Absolutely.
If every other thing was like girl of your dreams, 100%.
What do you want to do for dinner tonight?
I bet you could.
I could deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think people used to mimic it, and some of the slang bled into society, but I don't know if anyone ever fully.
Let's put it this way. I've dealt with way worse.
Lucas wants to know, were you doing a 1920s Yoda? He's talking about Denny's, by the
way.
All right, Denny's, give us one more fact and we'll wrap this shit up. But I tell you what, I love it. You're nailing it.
All right, well, thanks. What do you guys think about this? And I only bring it up because Christmas is on the approach. But in 2013, a tech realtor called Game released this affordable Christmas dinner in a can. It's for the hardcore gamers who spend their Christmas playing games and they don't have time to leave their chair.
I mean, come on, y'all. I just hit pause.
It's one can. They have it in vegan, non-vegan, but the vegan one I have, for example, it's chocolate cake, custard, red cabbage, parsnips, butternut squash, Brussels sprouts, pigs in a blanket, bread sauce, whatever that is, gravy.
Ooh, that sounds bread sauce.
Beets.
Ooh, I love that.
And it's got turkey and mashed potatoes. It's all in a can. You can eat it in one slice.
I'm curious just to try it.
I can't explain it, and we don't have to go on a big tirade on this whole thing, but for some reason, video games make me horny. It's weird. Someone explained it to me. One time, in fact, I think we talked about it on the After the Show podcast. When you play video games, you kind of are relaxed, sort of, or, mm-hmm. or you're at least not, maybe not even relaxed. You're just focused on the task at hand, and maybe subconsciously, I'm letting go a bit, and I'm relaxed, and that gives me a boner. I don't know.
Does the game change it one way better than the other?
No, it's not that the game is turning me on. I just automatically, it's almost like having a bottle of wine or something.
Right.
It's a weird thing. Wine is another thing. For whatever reason, case of the hornies. But I think that's a lot of people. I think a lot of people get horny on wine.
That's fair.
You wonder if it's because games require instincts. You have to like be quick and whatever.
It's like the primal beast.
You wonder, if you go back to like the super primal shit, like it's just you, your reactions with nature and then your interactions with,
Very, very, very interesting. Yeah, if anyone else gets horny playing video games.
How come they don't have video games that would be like what a guy would do on a Saturday night? Don't you think that would be fun?
Like what?
Like, I think there was one back in the day called Leisure Suit Larry. Oh. Where, like, do you remember that?
I like how you bring up the most provocative game out there.
You're talking about sex video games?
Well, it's the thing, like, where you go out and, like, you could,
His
like...
goal of the game in Leisure Suit Larry is to hook up with some chick. So you go out in your leisure suit trying to pick up chicks. And, like, you could talk to them, and by using keywords or getting them items, they would show you glimpses of their breasts and stuff. But, like, we're talking, like, SVGA graphics. And then it went up to, like, Windows 95.
It was like Quagmire, right?
Yeah.
For Family Guy.
He looked very much like Quagmire,
100%, too. Yeah. That's fun.
We got this email. It goes, hey, have you guys played The Sounds of Hell on the podcast yet? It was a long email, and so I'll read you an excerpt of what this is. In 1989, Siberian engineers were drilling a 9-mile-deep borehole into Earth. When it hit a cavern, they decided to conduct tests before drilling deeper. Tests showed that the temperature of the cavern was over 2,000 Fahrenheit. I'm sorry, over 2,000 Fahrenheit. Then lowered extremely heat-tolerant microphones into the hole. This is what they recorded. Now, some people believe this is the true sounds of hell.
Wow.
Basically, they dug real, real deep, put microphones down, and this is what they got. Okay.
That's terrifying.
That's the most terrifying sound I've ever heard.
That is the most terrifying sound.
I'm not kidding you. At the very end.
It makes a sound.
It makes a voice. And I swear to you, it sounds like the thing is saying pizza.
Yeah.
That does sound like
It sounds like pizza.
Play it organ. Okay, let's play it one more time without anyone else talking over it. That sounds like pizza.
It does sound like
pizza.
It does.
Oh
my gosh. That's what they recorded.
It's pretty scary.
Does that sound like hell to you?
Yeah.
Sounds like hell to me.
How bummed out would you be as soon as you die you see, you're like, oh, you're coming to, you know, you've gone to that next dimension, and the first thing you hear is
that noise.
Oh, man.
Or like, you hear.
Then I'm like, all right, it's horrifying, but there's pizza. Maybe we can make this work. If I could maybe make hell work if they do serve me pizza.
That would be you in hell.
Hell would be rough.
Imagine that's what hell was. You have that, like, rah, 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 for 24, almost 24 hours a day, but for 3 seconds, you get to have a bite of pizza. That's it.
Or the entire time you're in hell, it's you just waiting on your pizza to show up.
Dang, you don't believe in hell, do you?
No, not so much hell. I'm more inclined to believe that there's a heaven over a hell, like okay. a next plane for like the soul of a human, or the energy of a human, something in that such, or even if it's in the same planet and it's just in a different dimension that we can't perceive here,
right?
It could exist on the same, you know, scope.
Chat room, let us know about that audio. Did you think it was horrifying or did you find it comforting?
So you wonder what that is, because think about, like, I doubt they felt it comforting, but. You know how the Bermuda Triangle, when you go within its confines, it throws the compasses off because I guess the magnetism there pulls from multiple directions. I guess the same kind of thing can happen if you go to the very dead center of Antarctica or whatever. But you wonder if... I lost my train of thought. I can't remember.
I heard you trailing off. I was like, where are you going?
Wait, I'll start because I was like, which one's the... I couldn't remember if it was Antarctica or the other one.
Y'all, Denny's is just really tired today. That's all that is.
We're on... look at this. We're almost at Friday. Thursday is technically my Friday, if I can be honest.
Yeah, Thursday is a fun... Ever since we stopped doing Drunk Girl Trivia on the KVJ show, my Thursdays are so much more peaceful. I mean, was I not such in a bad mood on Thursdays before Drunk Girl Trivia?
There's a lot of layers to that.
Did you end that bit?
Yes, we ended that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's for a million reasons we ended that bit. That's in fair. My opinion.
Yeah.
Well, so it's layered too, because first off, you have to go out and ask a lot of questions to get the sample size that you actually hear on the radio. We have to talk to so many people.
You have to talk to a lot of girls.
No, you know that
problem, Becky.
I totally get how you're going to say, oh, Uber, it's a tough world. It's not like that, man. Right. You got a lot of drunk people. Most of the time, it's married women or girls that have a boyfriend or a fiance, and the dudes don't listen to the show, but the girl will, and she's like, oh, this is great. And meanwhile, this motherfucker's shooting me daggers with his eye, wanting to club me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there's been many a times where a guy's wanted to fight me.
Really?
Just because he's drunk, his girl's drunk, she doesn't, they get into a, what about that one time, remember that one time that couple got into a fight in front of you and me?
Oh, yeah.
It was so uncomfortable.
The boyfriend was mad because she was all drunk on the radio.
Well, the other thing too is, oh, okay, let's get a bunch of drunk people together, and what could go wrong? You guys have never met each other, and it's just, I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm 42 years old. It's time to. There's certain things you gotta graduate from.
I 100% get it.
Because we go back and we watch old TV shows, and you can just see how much things change every like 5 years.
Totally.
There's a drastic change in some avenue.
Right.
And it's the stigma of stuff is much different.
And then some girls, you could tell they weren't really drunk, and they were given over. It was a lot to me for not that much of a payoff.
Yeah.
And I totally support Suits doing it. Suits on our show, he's 24 years old. He's in that kind of scene where, you know, you're going to the bars and you're getting hammered and having fun and doing all that stuff. But not to mention, man, it's called Drunk Girl Trivia. Not everybody is down with that kind of content. And you'd hear that, you know, you'd be doing a feel-good little kid bit, and then you go into that. And it's not that I care, but you just, it's one of those things you got a lot of shit for from different angles. And to me, at the end of the day, it just wasn't worth it.
I get it. Makes sense.
So. And we get that. People always ask what happened to that bit, so there's part of the reason.
We're going to do punk girl trivia now.
Yeah, we're just going to interview girls that are punk.
In a mosh pit.
Punk rock.
Where are you guys going to go to get
Beckett,
that?
Beckett, we're fucking with
you. Might be interesting, actually.
Let's see here. Did you guys see this? This one dude outran an avalanche in Canada. Now, tell me who's more chill. This guy, seriously, hauls ass as this avalanche is getting ready to crush him. Listen to how chill he is. Who's more chill, him or Denny's?
Avalanche.
Wow.
Here goes. don't think it's coming this far. Oh, wow. That's crazy. Wow.
I mean,
that's probably my reaction too.
I would handle that so avalanche.
I would start running, man, try to save my breath.
I'd be so freaked out.
That's crazy.
Avalanches are terrifying.
Yeah. They are. They're very terrifying.
I can tell you're scared of them.
Not in that onesie.
I'm scared of nothing. And I like how I'm like, there's just some things you gotta grow out of. Meanwhile, I'm in a fucking onesie over here.
It's comfortable. It's a little warm, but it's comfortable.
It is
warm.
Denny's is such
freezing
a little
in
air,
here, though.
He's such an air-conditioned bitch. He can't deal with it.
No.
Oh, if it's over, if the air conditioning
Bird keeps his shit cold.
74 below.
He keeps it cold in here. And then he gets under a blanket.
I love getting it real cold and getting it real warm, Becky.
So Denny's must be real comfortable right now.
I'm at nominal temperature. I'm a 75, man.
Hey, I want to thank the audience for last week. I'm sorry, the last podcast we did, we did that last week, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, get over. We got our most views ever on YouTube, Beckett.
Wow.
Most. So the weirdos are helping us out. We really appreciate that.
That's awesome.
We thank you guys. The people who listen to the Weird Whatever podcast, you guys are very loyal. So we thank you for that. We mean that. Denny, say some nice warm things to the audience. Shit.
Thanks for coming on and checking us out. I'm glad we all get together like this and just kind of spend time together.
Do you guys believe you can heal somebody through praying? Medical science is only beginning to understand the ways in which the mind influences the body. The placebo effect, for example, demonstrates that people can at times cause a relief in medical symptoms or suffering by believing the cures to be effective, whether they actually are or not. What do you guys think of the placebo effect? Do you believe in that? Do you think some people can honestly feel like they've been healed, even though there's nothing other than them thinking they're healed?
Yeah, no, I think it's powerful. I think that I'm pretty sure it's been scientifically proven, the placebo effect.
Yeah, they do it a lot with science.
There was a guy who had just turned 21, so everybody was giving him O'Doul's, and he didn't know what O'Doul's was. And then he started acting like he was drunk. He was doing all this crazy shit.
What horrible friends.
Oh, terrible. Totally. Terrible. And then they... Yeah, he wasn't really drunk. Kevin in Virginia did that to an intern before too.
Did it work? Rough.
Yeah, he thought he was completely hammered. The placebo effect does work.
It does,
To a certain extent, I think.
Absolutely.
I think some people it may not, but it's if you believe one thing, I mean, if no one tells you otherwise, it's amazing. The whole ignorance is bliss kind of.
Well, because I mean, everything's a chemical reaction in your brain anyway. So if you're telling yourself that, maybe you're subconsciously secreting extra serotonin or dopamine. But like, yeah, same thing with like tripping. Like one of my friends was like, he was given fake mushrooms and he thought he was tripping balls. And my buddy's like, no, they're fake.
Well, what about healing as far as, okay, Beckett gets hit by a car and I go over there.
I think to an extent, I think if you want to survive, you have to mentally want to survive.
Right.
I agree with that. The will.
And have hope. Yeah. I mean, those two things, I think, can definitely take...
Give you the best shot of whatever situation.
Two people in the same exact accident, one with hope and one without. Or, I mean, I feel like you are more inclined. I mean,
100% agree.
We talk about it all the time. Anybody who feels like there's no hope in a situation, that's when you're at your lowest, when there's zero hope in your mindset.
Absolutely.
Everyone needs hope. Even when you are so against the wall, your back's against the wall, you're in the corner... You have to have a little bit of hope to try to get out of that. If not, it's gonna be rough.
100%.
Well, for the most part, every situation, for the most part, with the exception to certain ones, things can be turned around with positive thinking.
I know what you're talking about.
There's major
violent
things that
acts
absolutely
that you
cannot.
Have no control over,
absolutely,
for sure.
There's things
you.
That cannot, but there is a lot of things that can be influenced just by pure positive thinking. I think hydration. I think those two things are important.
When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Your and boy Dwyer.
Wayne Dyer. You always call him Wayne Dwyer. Show a little respect.
And the secret.
That's your boy. It's the secret too.
The secret's a little hippity-dippity, but there's a lot of proof in athletics and business and all of those things that just, visualizing it.
Confidence brings so much more.
Kind of manifest it.
It manifests clutch situations.
So that whole secret thing, there was such a misconception of all that. People thought if you just put shit on a wish board and,
it's just going to happen.
No, but what it does, though, it puts you in the right the right alignment of thinking of, okay, I'm getting my shit together and I'm going to concentrate on this. I'm going to read up on this. I'm going to actually look into it and then get off my ass and then apply it. I mean, if you're just sitting wishing for a car in your driveway, good fucking luck with
that.
Exactly. You have to, I mean, but I do think the secret is good on the, just on the angle of, okay, I got to stay positive. I got to keep it going. I got to stay organized. I got to work hard. I got to try to put myself in every winning situation to get to that goal. Mm-hmm. All that helps.
Totally.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. That really is what the secret is.
Yeah. Well, being prepared for something that you aspire to and you're in the situation and it works out for you, you come in clutch, that is how you succeed in that.
Well, think about when you were a little kid, when you were just so passionate about whatever it was and you did it every day. You were so into it, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then after a year, you could tell anybody in the world, front and back, up and down, everything about that thing you're so into. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what...
It's cool. With you with the G.I. Joes, you know the backstory of each one and like when they came out and if you had it as a kid or if you didn't or you always wanted all of that. And you could go into great detail with them because you had a passion for them.
I really do think passion is one of those things that people don't give enough credit to. That is such a key element in life. To have passion really can get you through some shitty situations, man.
It's one of the most important things. I mean, other than your health and all that, like it's one of the most important things you can have. Like I've spent my whole adult life like really wanting to find out like what that passion is, because you put that fuel in your metaphorical car, you're putting yourself, in my opinion, in the best situation long term.
And passion's a sexy quality.
Totally.
It's an attractive quality, not only with people that you're friends with or a mate you want. It's a fun thing.
Absolutely.
Passion and purpose, those two things together, you know, they're kind of cousins of each other, I guess, but you pair those two things, like,
oh yeah.
You know, you're pretty fulfilled even when, I think, when you're failing in some ways, you know, because you're pursuing that.
And failing is such a good thing.
Oh, it's great.
Now, I will say failing all the time sucks. You want to mix in some wins?
Yes.
Because, I mean,
you get discouraged.
Well, you're failing because you want the win eventually of whatever you're going for. So if you're just failing.
Well, you know, it's like changing your perspective. Like someone told me, when you go to the gym, like a bodybuilder, a world-class bodybuilder, he's doing bicep curls until failure.
Yes.
Right? And that's a positive thing. Like you want your bicep to fail. And whether you're an entrepreneur, like you want to appreciate fails and learn from those fails and then move on, because you know that it'll help you with that eventual win.
Absolutely. That's why I like music or art as a hobby, or at least like an initial passion for kids, because it gives you little landmarks real quick off. Like if you paint for 1 month, you'll notice an improvement from day one to day 30.
Right.
And if you paint for 3 months, you'll notice obviously till day 90. Same with guitar. Like when you start playing that and you can actually piece a song together, it starts really boosting your ego. Because you're like, all right, I put the work in and I'm seeing results. You can see quick results. I feel like that tricks kids into wanting to learn
or chase
that feeling.
I get so many emails from people who are older and say, I wish I could play an instrument, but I'm too old to do it. I could blah, blah, blah. And I would just say, change what you're trying to go for. You're never too old to learn anything.
No.
What are you trying to do? Yeah, if you're 55 years old and you're just learning how to play guitar, yeah, you may not get signed to Columbia.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Who gives a shit?
Right.
It's just nice to be able to do something like that. I mean, music is so therapeutic. Anything of the arts is therapeutic.
Well, it creates moods and emotions with sounds. So you're literally commanding, at least when you watch a movie and you see it's a heartfelt moment, like the music, the strings, like you can create those sounds and give emotions.
Yeah, and I think we give ourselves sometimes too tough of a time. Like to enjoy playing basketball, you don't have to be Michael Jordan.
No.
Right? So to enjoy playing the guitar, you don't have to be Jimi Hendrix. Just like, you just enjoy doing it. You don't have to be Mozart in that.
I think that's a tough thing for, I mean, a lot of people is what am I even doing this for? What's the point of it? I mean, I'm not going to get that good at it, or what's going to be in it for me financially? And it's not always about that. I get that. That finances are important, but if you're gonna do something like that, I would say just do it for fun. Do it out of passion. Everyone needs a passion, Denny's.
Yes, I feel like everybody does need a passion.
I mean, passion's a great thing unless it's for murder.
Right.
And that's going to lead me into my next segment. I got an email from somebody who said, "Hey, have you guys ever heard the voicemail that the original Night Stalker / Golden State Killer left to one of his victims?" This is public knowledge. He would now, the Golden State Killer, we've talked about him before. He had just recently, in the last couple of years, gotten caught. He was a evil son of a bitch. And this guy was so terrible. After he'd attack his victims, he would still taunt them with voicemails and all kinds of shit like that. So I don't know if you guys want to hear this. Audience, do you want to hear that? This is a creepy voicemail. This person who emailed me, Linda from Atlanta, she says, this is without a doubt the creepiest audio on the internet. Do you want to see that or do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Is this going to be one of those horrifying sounds that we can never forget?
Oh, Danny's bringing it back.
Yeah, full circle. You want me to play it?
Do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, Beckett's tuned in. No,
are you sexting? I'm trying to do a fucking
No, just do this a background research.
Right. So let it, chat room, let us know. Is this the scariest audio on the internet?
What a terrible thing to send someone.
What? I mean, that's horrifying. I remember, have you guys ever had prank phone calls like that? Especially back in the day when it wasn't, I mean, not like that
Never
level.
Violent. I've had prank phone calls for sure.
We had some real scary shit back in the early 80s in Lake Park. There was this guy that would always call and say some really creepy shit to my mom. And I mean, if you know my mom and heard my mom, she'd have handled that real well. But he'd call at 1 o'clock in the morning and, hey, what are you wearing? Hey, I'm down the street. And it was, oh, my dad was working second shift at the time, so he wasn't home, or third shift, whatever the shift is where you're not home at late at night. Mm-hmm. And I remember about 1 o'clock in the morning, I could not sleep, and the phone rang. Jeez. And I answered the phone, and the guy goes, hello, mom. I remember that. You're right, Denny's. It's a voice I'll never forget.
Ugh,
it's haunting.
That's messed up. What did he do to his victims, the Golden State Killer?
He would he'd break into their house. He would assault them. Sometimes halfway through the assault, he'd stop and go eat something and then come back and finish the job. There was one case where they were at a town hall meeting, and the attacks were all up through California. And one guy stood up and said, you know, this killer is only attacking women. You know, husbands can protect their wives. And I think within a couple of days, the Golden State Killer attacked and attacked him and his wife in their house. And they think the Golden State Killer was in that town hall meeting, listening to everything, and then followed them home.
Jeez.
Yeah. He was one of the most prolific.
Jeez.
Fucking just a whack job. Yeah, I would say that's horrifying on the internet. Although the stuff of the hell sounds are pretty scary too.
Yeah.
You know, it used to freak me out. My friends and I, we pranked each other with this when it came out. Remember that movie? I think this was from The Ring. It was originally a Japanese horror movie.
Yeah. Ringu.
And do you remember that thing? I think this was what the sound was like.
That's The Grudge.
The Grudge. And so we would just leave that on each other's voicemails or whatever. My one buddy, it scared the hell out of him.
I just want to know, chat room's asking, that was the Golden State Killer. Yeah, if you want to find out more information, just Google. A lot of stuff will come up. You'll read the details on that. It's shocking stuff, even for the internet.
I hated it. Terrible. Terrible guy.
Let's see here. We've got a couple more emails. Oh, yeah, here's what I wanted to do. This is what I want. I want audience participation in this. There is a clip going viral right now.
All
right. And I want to get your opinion, your guys' opinion, and the audience opinion. Is this woman really being genuine, or is she just doing this to get famous on the internet? Annoying or funny? Okay, so two questions. Real or fake?
Okay.
Annoying or funny?
Okay.
Christmas is so magical. I don't know what's going on in your day, but unless you are hugging strangers in a gas station parking lot, you're probably doing pretty good. Yes, Michelle, I walked away from his car and got in my car and just shut the door and pretended nothing happened. And he was left like, that lady she just hugged me and told me she loved humanity. But I'm pretty sure when he realized that my car was the same as his, he figured it out. out anyways. I gotta go. I'm gonna throw up. Bye, y'all.
Okay, I kind of messed up. I didn't give you the whole story. She was at a gas station, and she thought she knew this guy, and she hugged him, and it was a complete stranger. She didn't know the guy, and that was her reaction.
She panicked and said, and then I love humanity.
Then she went to the internet, and she made a viral video. Denny's, genuine, real, or is she trying to go viral?
I think she probably genuinely did that, and then I think she's trying to go viral with the video.
I think the thing really happened. I'm asking the video.
This video, I think she's trying to go viral with.
She's really not laughing. She's really not that tickled pink.
No, I don't think she's that like manic laughing. Yeah,
Beckett.
I wasn't able to see her face, but it sounded pretty authentic.
Beckett, the skeptic.
I know.
Believe in shit left and right on the internet.
I feel like
I know. I'm gullible.
It's okay, kid. It's,
oh, we're jaded.
I always get hoodwinked.
Okay, so people are saying real. Okay, this is why we're asking real, because there was a bit of a debate online.
Mm.
Her laughter was so real. If you watch the video, real. Okay.
All right.
Again, I have to watch the video.
Now, keep in mind, that's only two votes that have come in.
Both my way.
Yeah.
Okay, they said real and trying to go viral.
That's what I said.
Well, dog, I ain't competition.
Well, no. You're right. What am I doing?
No, just kidding. Yeah, no, just that's the big viral clip going, Beckett.
Interesting.
Each year.
Let me see. You guys,
Baby Yoda's gone viral too, hasn't he?
Oh, geez. He's whatever the
it's
next
been all over the place.
Whatever the next level up from viral.
I haven't even seen it, but I see that all over the
Mandalorian,
place.
Mandalorian, yeah. I really enjoy this series.
Do you?
The last two episodes I've not been a fan of.
Okay.
But there's been five episodes of Mandalorian. We won't talk that much about it. But yes, the last two have been okay for me. Denny's, anything to prep or anything to plug? Oh, here's an email really quick before you plug anything.
Yeah, I got so much stuff to plug.
Do you have anything?
No, I don't have it. What do I have to plug?
I don't know. Maybe you got...
Oh, wow.
Can't you see I'm stretching? my computer screen wasn't working.
I hear you.
Thanks for helping me out.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to blow your cover.
Dear Weird Whatever, do you guys believe in love spells? I did one on a guy I work with. Since then, we have had sex three times.
Oh.
I had to secretly get a piece of his hair for the spell to work. Do you think it's just coincidence, or did the spell really work? Rhonda from Vero Beach. First of all, Rhonda... Why are you grabbing people's hair without them knowing?
So check. Say you start dating a girl and like 6 months later, you're like, man, this relationship's going great. There's got to be a catch. And then 6 months go by and then she's like, hey, so when we first met, I cut off some of your hair and I made a potion. And remember we had sex three times? And you're like, oh, shit, I do remember that. You'd be like, what would you think to that?
So
would you think that's creepy or would you think that's endearing?
I don't think she cut the hair. I think she had to find hair.
Yeah, I get it. I switched it a little bit.
But we don't know.
I think that is a bit alarming.
Would it change everything?
I don't know, man. It depends. Those 6 months is a long time to know somebody.
Would it change your mind if she found the hair or cut the hair?
I think if you cut the hair, that's a little bit even fucking creepier.
It changes your mind?
Well, how do you not know someone's cutting your hair?
What if you're asleep at the office on the couch? You're exhausted. You did a 48-hour broadcast.
Beckett's turning this into a 90s sitcom.
Or she collects the beard hair in the sink or something.
Something like that. Because so, I worked with a girl who could not stand our promotions director at the time, and she literally put a curse on him, and she went in his office when he left, and she went all through his desk, and she found hair by his computer, and she used that for a spell.
That's crazy.
Oh, she was animated.
Really?
She was out there a bit. But yeah, that is... That would be the chat room question of the day.
All right.
If you were, okay, in your current situation, if you're with somebody, let's say your mate says, I got hair, the same scenario. They did the whole love spell thing. They got hair. They did a whole little spell, and then you guys hooked up, and they think it's because of the spell. Do you think that's creepy, and would you stay with them, or is that a deal breaker, or do you actually think it's kind of cute and adorable?
I think it works. I don't think this is sexist. I just think it would work better for girls than guys. Does that make sense? Doing the whole thing. I think it's placebo. And I think that, you know, if a girl leans in because she's really interested in a guy, the odds are way better that it's going to happen than if some guy was being a creep. Does that make sense at all?
I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Thanks.
Because I get what he's saying. It's creepy if a guy's lurking around collecting hair and toenails. It's real creepy.
If a guy, it would be a different reaction if a guy was going through a girl's drawer 100%. Desk getting her hair. No, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
A girl, you're like, all right, that's cool. She's into me, so she went out of her way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I don't want. I like when someone's got quirks. Love it.
Me too.
But can someone just be fucking somewhat a little bit normal? That's a different level, I think.
I don't think you'd. I think you'd get bored with normal.
Oh, I would.
I do. I mean, I think I.
But I also don't want drama either.
Totally.
Drama is. Yeah. Gosh, drama is the worst.
It's the worst.
You gotta find the middle.
Life is too. There's too much normal. Always gonna happen drama in life and work to like add it, you know, like
absolutely,
you know, it's one thing to have bumps in the road in relationships, but to always be the person out of drama, like you don't need that.
Yeah. I'm curious to what people say about that, if they think it's creepy or not.
Yeah, please, can we get back to definitely leaving comments in the comment section after the video is, you know, populated and it's up on YouTube. If you guys don't mind, the weirdo audience out there, please let us know your answer. Also, if you do have time, try to find that squirrel video. What we're trying to do is get everyone to share it to Virginia's account. She was so damn lippy and negative about that beautiful squirrel video. We're just trying to share a little light, little laughter back here.
That's awesome. Which account? So this is on Facebook?
Virginia Sinicki or Virginia KBJ.
Well, if you get, the video is on our YouTube page, or it's on our Facebook, or it's on my page. It's everywhere. Just type in Jaybird and Denny's. Ice cream eating squirrel. It'll come up. And then
it'll be the first hit.
Bombard the witch with this shit. And even though if you think the video's shitty, just help us out and go, Virginia, this video was the best ever.
She talks so much trash.
Suck it, witch. Oh, she was talking shit even during commercial break.
But it didn't matter.
Kev, no, it's not a full ice cream. Now when you look at it, the cone, it's a full cone. The ice cream's falling off.
Right.
It's a full
It's
fucking,
hot out, man.
It's a full cone.
Freaking Florida.
Well, I think that squirrel ate the ice cream.
Yeah. Totally. We had Kevin at first, man. Virginia, like, completely turned him.
Oh, it was gonna. Yeah. As soon as Virginia made fun of it, Kevin was like, yeah, fuck that squirrel.
Immediately.
So please. Ship. And please make it more than five people. That'll be so lame.
You think it was pistachio ice cream?
I don't know. Is that
it looked like vanilla.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Pistachio because of nuts? Yeah.
That's a good one, Becky. I always say to Denny's all the time, let's end on a low note. Yeah. yes. Okay, guys, leave those comments down below. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. We love you all. And
Bigfoot is real.
What was that? What's that sound? Where? It's aliens and they're living in your town.